Kedua Korea baru sahaja menamatkan sidang kemuncak yang ketiga, yang pertama pada tahun 2000, yang kedua pada tahun 2007 dan yang ketiga yang baru sahaja berlangsung beberapa hari lepas. Dan apakah cara untuk bergerak ke hadapan secara signifikan dan juga untuk memastikan keselamatan dan juga kestabilan di rantau ini dapat dijamin dalam masa yang sama melihat kepada hubungan antara kedua Korea? Adakah mereka pada akhirnya akan bersatu menjadi sebuah negara ataupun adakah perjanjian damai akan dicapai dalam masa terdekat? Untuk membincangkan perkara tersebut, kita bersama dengan Dato' Stephen C.M. Wong, Naib Ketua Eksekutif ISIS Malaysia, dan juga Dr. Hu Chiu Ping, Pensyarah Kanan Program Pengajian Strategik dan juga Hubungan Antarabangsa UKM, untuk membincangkan dan juga melihat lebih dalam kepada signifikan dan juga simbolisme yang dapat kita lihat daripada sidang kemuncak kedua Korea tersebut. Hi, thank you for joining us, Doctor, and thank you for joining us, Dato'. I think first of all, let's look at the outcomes from the summit of the two Koreas. What do you make of the outcomes and also the key outcomes from this summit? I think people are paying more attention to the denuclearization and also how it's now up to the U.S. to help North Korea to achieve that. What do you make of that?
I think the outcome is much more substantive than we thought, because during the April Panmunjom declaration, so many people were suspicious that any of those would be carried out. So from Kim Jong-un, he has personally promised that more facility would be demolished, and this time, even though the Yongbyong nuclear complex demolition is mentioned towards the end of the declaration, and as a second item of the last, that North Korea would take those action if United States is going to do something reciprocal. So I think this declaration is throwing the ball back at the US court, because after the Singapore summit especially, mm-hmm. There have been no substantive progress made on the denuclearization talk. Mm-hmm. So this time, North Korea together with South Korea make it very clear that this time US have to do something.
Mm. And clearly, Dato, North Korea and South Korea now, they both want America to also be part of this. They also want President Donald Trump to also be part of this. I think hence the condition that they've set for the demolition of the Yongbyon nuclear facility. What do you make of that? And will America bite this?
I think that the reciprocal requirements, the noises coming up from the US to date have been quite positive on the developments in the nuclear side of it. They have not said, which is a very important caveat, on the reciprocal requirements. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's one. It's not denuclearization, which is the American narrative. The American narrative is that you have to, you know, it is for the DPRK to denuclearize and do thing, and that that the US itself has no obligations in this particular matter. And that has been the way very much from day one, mm-hmm. that nature of the demands. But coming back to the summit, there are two separate processes now which are going on. One, which is the inter-Korean summit, you know, basically following up on the Panmunjom declaration, mm-hmm. which is the conversion of the armistice to a peace treaty, which is a positive move forward. The second issue, which is related, but a second issue, is that of the denuclearization. Mm-hmm. Okay, even if you just had the Panmunjom declaration, I think that would be quite significant already. In fact, if you listen to Moon Jae-in's speech to the 150,000 people in the audience, in the stadium, he was talking all about peace, mm-hmm. peace between mm-hmm. the North and between the South, and creating those kinds of environments that, and I think that on that basis, the two leaders are pretty committed towards trying to convert the armistice into a peace treaty. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, to move there. In the discussions, there are the issues of the denuclearization there, and then related to that is also the issue of the sanctions. Mm-hmm. And I think the Moon Jae-in government is basically saying, look, we can't do very much at the moment in terms of economic cooperation, etc., until you, because of the of sanctions. The sanctions.
In this declaration, missile was not a main issue, aside from the demolition of the test site. So the fact that SLBM, the submarine launch ballistic missile, and the other form of mid-range, short-range missile was not in the discussion. And that raised a great concerns among the conservatives in South Korea and of course the general Japanese public. Mm-hmm. In that regard, I think to put the discussion more on how to achieve the real peace has been mm-hmm. on the non-military aspects. Mm-hmm. So the military agreement is actually a testament to, look, we are doing this part to not only denuclearize, but also committed to demilitarize the mm-hmm. Korean Peninsula. Mm-hmm. So again, they are, the two Koreas are showing that they are taking substantive steps so that the security promise of the peninsula is now back to the other powers to ensure that can happen.
And who are these other powers? You've written about NEPCOR. There are China, there's the US, there's also Russia. There are also all these other powers involved within the region itself to also maybe facilitate that. And South Korea, the President Moon Jae-in, has been very instrumental in expanding its power to influence and to get these other powers to also be part of the whole Korean Peninsula peace narrative. Do you think these other powers can also maybe help looking at the outcomes and they can step in and offer their assistance?
Well, the US is very key, right, to this because obviously, it doesn't really work without sort of the US buy-in now. Question then is, what is the U.S. capable of committing to, or does it want to commit everything? Because as I said, the entire approach of the United States in terms of the DPRK is that it is a rogue state. It needs to be brought under power and it has to denuclearize, and that's that. Okay, and mm-hmm. that there is no concomitant. Russia is very key. Of course, China has been a big facilitator, but Russia is, shall we say, one of those countries that is actually quite sympathetic, to sort of developments. The other one that you did not mention is actually Japan. Mm-hmm. Japan is important because, obviously, it's a frontline state, and because Japan also hosts a large number of U.S. military installations. Which you would expect that if in the event of any conflict would be used. So any conflict in the Korean Peninsula is very unlikely to remain within the Korean Peninsula. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about about the shelling of Seoul and mm-hmm. Of the neighboring districts, but I'm afraid that if something like that starts, it has to escalate. It has to escalate, towards taking out, many of the installations, the U.S. installations, Kadena Air Base, mm-hmm. Yokosuka, and the others. So, it is very much one part of one big puzzle there. Mm-hmm. So it's not only facilitate; they are actually instrumental. The thing is that the bases in Japan do not only serve the purpose of containing the DPRK, they therefore mm-hmm. other purposes as well, and that's to ensure the issue of Taiwan, and China, etc. So it's going to be very, very difficult to see how the United States, under the current administration, is going to make sort of ironclad commitments and guarantees that Kim Jong-un wants.
Mm-hmm. What kind of response should we get from China in the very near future? And how would they respond to this latest development?
I think that they will view, the symbolics. And largely, while it is very good, symbolics like joint hosting of the Olympic Games, mm-hmm. Development of the tourist center in this very important lake that both sides think. These are important symbolic steps towards that peace process. I don't think China will have any particular problem with that. I think the more problematic is actually the hard strategy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Terima kasih Datuk dan kita akan berhenti berehat seketika kembali selepas ini.